Well, I just first want to welcome each and every one of you for joining us this morning, whether here in person or if on live stream or if you tune in a little later. For those who check out the YouTube later, I know there's a couple people that do that. I just want to welcome you guys for being here, and I just pray that you've come with an anticipation, expectation of God speaking to us through His Word. So let's just open with a word of prayer first. And Heavenly Father, right now we just turn our attention to you, Lord. I just pray that the busyness of this past week or the concerns of what may come next week, Lord, that we would just push them aside and we allow our eyes to be fixed on your Son. Lord, we've gathered here. We thank you that we can come here and worship you. And Lord, we're two or three gathered. Your presence is here. And so, Lord, let us understand and acknowledge your presence is here. This is a holy moment. And so, Lord, as we proceed to look to your Word, may we allow your Spirit to search our hearts and minds. And so, Lord, as we work through this message and continue to worship you, any words that would come from me, Lord, I pray would fall on deaf ears and fall to the floor. But any words that come from you would pierce our hearts and minds and continue to transform us so that we may reflect the image of your Son to the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we were watching, we have that video for kind of an intro, and we're talking about this foundation. And I have to think about a story I read this week. It was about a Civil War soldier. And when the dust had cleared and the smoke and everything, and everybody was gathering back in camps, he realized quickly that not only was his brother killed in that battle, but so was his father. He was the only one left. And for his mother and sister to take care of the farm would be just too much. And so he sought to see if he could get released from serving. And so he went to the White House. And when he got to the entrance, the guard standing there, "What do you want?" He's like, "I want to see the president. He's busy. And besides, we're in the middle of a war. You need to get back to your unit now. You will not be entering into the White House to speak to the president." And at that, he turned him away forcefully. And the soldier walked away, entered the nearby park, and just sat down, weeping. This morning, we're going to talk about taking the message into the nations. And I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. And so turn with me to that. For the Bibles that are in the pews that look like this, it would be page 943. And so as we turn to that, this is right in the middle. I love the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. I love that right in the middle of this, we have the section of Scripture that we're going to look at here in Ephesians. Paul has just prayed for spiritual wisdom. And then after we conclude this section, he prays for spiritual growth. And I love those two prayers. Matter of fact, I read them often and actually make them part of my prayer life. Ephesians 3, verse 1. "When I think of all this..." All right, well, wait a minute. What's he thinking about? What is all this, right? We've got to kind of back up maybe a little bit. Well, what is he talking about when he thinks of all this? Like, have you ever had a moment when you're worshiping or praying and you just pause and you say, "When I think about everything..." Well, the first thing he's thinking about is made alive with Christ. What do I mean? Well, earlier in chapter 2, he's talking about once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many, many sins. In other words, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He's saying, when I think about all of us being dead in our sins, disobedient, and God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. The salvation, right? We've all are dead in our sins, and this gift of grace and mercy, newness of life, salvation is from God, and there's not a thing you can do about it except to receive this gift. And then he goes on and says this beautiful verse. And we've been talking about that we are created in the image of God and that we're a new creation. Look at this. Not only are we created in the image of God, not only are we new creation, but we are God's masterpiece. Masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. But not only is this what's going through his mind as he's starting to pen these next couple of verses, but he also thinks about the oneness and peace in Christ. What do I mean? Something that has been unheard of. And that is, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. In other words, no longer do we call them heathens, but they are now part of the body of Christ. And he is just, as he thinks about this, because of what Christ did, and then he continues on and says, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. In other words, we don't hate each other. Reconciliation. We are now one body. Think about it. When Peter went into Cornelius' home, he had to come back and give an account to the Jewish church. What are you doing going into a Gentile's home? And I think even when he explained that they had received the Holy Spirit, and they were all like, well, okay, there were many like, I'm just not sure about this. Are you sure God's really moving this way? Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And now we go back to Ephesians and seeing all that he's thinking about, he really kind of summarizes again. Ephesians 3, verse 1. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, you know God gave me the special responsibility to extend his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read that what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Do we even grasp? By his grace and power, Paul says, I was given this privilege. I wonder, do we think about the privilege we have? And verse 8, Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Verse 10, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities of in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into his presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. And then in verse 14, he goes on and says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees. Paul's talking about this mysterious plan revealed. that the message goes to the Gentiles. Yet it wasn't really that mysterious. It was prophesied. It talked about that Israel would be a light to the Gentiles. And yet here this beautiful message is going out, and we see in the book of Acts that it went from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we see Apostle Paul taking this message out. But he's not alone in this. And he says, the great mystery is this. God's purpose in all this was to use the church. To use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. The church is to be used in revealing this plan. I think there's another part that we forget about. And it was a verse that we just read. That soldier sitting in the park when a little boy just comes up to him. What's the matter with you? Well, he proceeds to tell him everything. The boy goes, I can help you. He takes him by the hand, starts walking back towards the White House, and he's like, what is he doing? They get to the guard that sent him away, and they walk right past, and the guard doesn't say a word. Then they walk into the foyer. They walk on through the halls. There's generals. Nobody says a word. And then they get to the Oval Office, to the door. And the boy just opens the door and walks right on in. And Abraham Lincoln is sitting there at his desk with his Secretary of State looking at papers and battle plans, and he all of a sudden looks up and he goes, well, good morning, Tad. Who's your friend? You want to introduce him to me? He says, he's got something to ask you, Dad. Paul reminds us, because of Christ, our faith in him, we can now boldly and confidently come into the presence of God. Or do we take that for granted and forget about it? That we, because of the Son of God, can take us by the hand and take us right in to the Creator and say, hey. That we come into his presence. In Hebrews it says that we receive grace and mercy there. E.M. Bounds was a pastor also during the Civil War, but his church was in the South. Now, he opposed slavery. But as the war was starting to ratchet up, the Union decided one way to raise money was to make a list of everybody that was questionable. Have them pledge allegiance to the Union and pay $500. He's a pastor. First of all, he didn't feel it was necessary since he was already a U.S. citizen, but he also did not have the $500 to pay. And guess what? He found himself in prison for a year and a half. And yet, this is what he says. Prayer is God's plan to supply man's great and continuous need with God's great and continuous abundance. Through Christ Jesus, we can come to the Creator. We come to our Heavenly Father, and we can receive the grace and mercy. We receive everything we need. Sometimes I wonder, though, if we start reasoning away, why should we share this message? Because what about those that don't hear the message? Are they saved? And we start playing these mental gymnastics. Because to go is scary. It is Palm Sunday. And the only thing I could say that I would relate to Palm Sunday to our message this morning is simply this. I would challenge you because as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people were excited because Jesus was going to set up his kingdom and take care of the things that they were most worried about. How many times do we have in our minds that Jesus is going to take care of this, Jesus is going to do this, and when we realize he's not moving in the way that we thought he should, it's unsettling. As we proceed from Palm Sunday to Easter to celebrate the resurrection, I challenge you each to continue to go to our Father through Jesus Christ, and through prayer allow our minds to continue to be shaped by His Word. Because you see, we're called to go. Jesus commanded and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. We talked about that, making disciples. That was a command. That's not a suggestion. That's not something that we can we're called to go, right? Disciples making disciples. And we talked about last week, go. Go and share the word. Go and share the word of God. And two, we are to baptize, to show the word. Have we truly died to ourselves that Christ now lives within us? This leads us to the third, teach, communicate the word. Do they see the word of God being lived out in us? And that word nations is actually means a people group. Because if you look at a globe from 1950 to today, nations changed. So it's not nations, it's people groups. So, we have this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. How many people groups are there? 11,000 people groups. 11,000 people groups. To give you an idea, here's, just look at this map. You see the green? That is where the gospel message is readily available. How many churches did you pass on the way to this church? Now, I'm not telling you to go to the other churches. We love having you here. But how many churches do we have in America? I mean, go to the south. That one should be like glowing green. Well, our projector's not the greatest. But if you look back there, you would see it doesn't glow. But the south, like, I mean, I can't imagine. When I go down to visit my daughter down in Tennessee, oh my goodness, how many churches. I mean, the gospel is readily available in these green areas. Now, that does not mean that people in these areas are Christians, because actually my wife and I did a premarital counseling for a couple that her aunt, I worked with her aunt back in my IT days when I worked in the information technology. And if you've been through our premarital counseling, you know the very first question we ask you is, where's your relationship with Jesus Christ? And the girl turned to us and said, I don't even know what your question is. I don't even know what you mean. She had no clue what we were talking about, who Jesus was. She lives in America. So when we say green, I'm just saying it's available. Doesn't mean everybody believes. The yellow, that represent where the gospel message is available, but it's scarce. It's less reached group. But the red, there's some Christians in there, but the gospel message is not being shared. Matter of fact, this is probably the areas that you see persecution. That red area you see, I said 11,000. This represents 7,000. We're not even halfway there. 7,000 groups. 3.2 billion people have yet to be reached with the gospel message. So as we go about our lives, let us be faithful in sharing this message, but let's also look at how can we continue to help go to these nations. And that brings me to Cambodia. As you heard, John and Jeanette are looking to go there. So with that, I am going to ask John to come and share. And then Ben will come up and talk a little bit, and then I'll close.
All right. Can everyone hear me? Good to go? All right. So, I'm going to actually go a little bit, I'm going off script here. During the first sermon, God put something on my heart, and so it might be a little messy, and it's way more emotional than I had realized. So please bear with me. For those who don't know me, I know most of everyone here, but if we've not yet met, my name is John Puckett. This is a picture of my family there, my wife who's in the middle. Her name's Jeanette. She's from Malaysia. And then I have four daughters, Evelyn, Alice, Tirza, and the baby there is Maria. And then in the back there is my son, and his name's Lazarus. All right. We've now been home from the mission field for 2 years. Before that, we served 7 years in Indonesia. And you may have seen Indonesia up on the map. It was the islands there all in red at the spot there, mainly Islamic. So I'm going to actually, before I go forward, what the Lord led me to do is actually share the scripture that's on our prayer cards. You can get them out there in the back. I encourage you to do that. Keep us, just a reminder to keep us in your prayers. But scripture is Matthew 24, 44 through 46. And actually, I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. But it's not a typical prayer card passage, but it was something the Lord laid on my heart when they asked us what verses we wanted on the prayer card. And so I'll read it here. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink and with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The reason I chose that scripture is because my desire is to be where the Lord wants me to be. To us, Christ is to be like the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud that led the slaves out of Egypt, right? And if any of you know that story, you know that these Hebrew slaves are released from their bondage of slavery, and they start going out, and they're being led by this pillar by God, which is revealing himself as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they follow this, the thing is, these Hebrews, they knew the land. They've heard about where the promised land was, and yet they're following this cloud and this fire, and this cloud and this fire is going in a direction that makes no sense to them, I am sure. And I'm sure there's plenty of people in that community which are like, what is going on here? Why are we going to this trap of a spot by the Red Sea? You know? And probably many of them thought, well, you know what? I might want to meet God where, you know, I know how to get there. I can go there. I want God there. I'm going to go and wait for him at the promised land. I wonder how much of a temptation that was for those people. The thing is, if they did not follow God, like they did, that they most likely would never have made it. Secondly, they would never have seen the awesome wonders that God did. He split open the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. They got to worship him at Mount Sinai. They got the Ten Commandments there. There was something bigger going on than what they had imagined. But how many of us want to tell God where we want him to be? Right? We have a mindset of what our life should look like, what we should be doing, and we keep on praying into that. Oh, God, I need you to show up here. I need you to do this for me. I need you to do that for me. You know, but as followers of Christ, we need to be asking God, where do you want us? Where are you taking us? Where can we be with you? And that is the desire of my heart, to be where God wants me to be. I'll be totally honest. If I followed after my earthly desires of what I thought a good life looked like, I would never have gone to Indonesia. I would never have gone lived in Surabaya. But I surrendered things to the Lord. I said, this doesn't look like anything of my earthly dreams, earthly desires. I'm surrendering to you. And I can tell you, those 7 years are the best years of my life. These past 2 years actually have been the best years of my life too, because I've been walking with the Lord. And I want to encourage you, surrender your plans to the Lord. Surrender yourself to the Lord and ask the Lord, where do you want me to be? The reason I say that actually is because my desire, what I want, I desire to go back to Indonesia. I desire to go back there. It makes sense. I know the language. I know the people. I know where I live. The community there loves me. It makes sense for me to go back there. I'm super comfortable with it. But I had to surrender that to the Lord. And I put out a fleece blanket for the Lord to give me a sign. Do you want me to go back? Now, if you might not get that Christianese term, a fleece blanket, there's a story in the Bible where a man named Gideon wants to make sure that he's hearing from the Lord, so he puts out a fleece blanket to ask for a sign from God. If you don't know the story, look it up. It's an awesome story, one of my favorites. I asked for a sign from God, and the sign came back that, no, you're not going to Indonesia. And that was 2 Octobers ago that I got this. And I wasn't exactly very happy with it, so I thought, you know, well, maybe God is going to change his mind up. Maybe it's not a now thing. We'll wait and see where God is going to go with this. So I still hung on to the idea of going back to Indonesia. I kept my house. I kept all my belongings that are there. And we waited and waited, and December rolled around, and there was a meeting that took place actually here with the Franklin District. And it's called Journey Days, and I missed the announcement. I'm terrible at hearing the announcements or paying attention to them, I'll be honest. I missed the announcement that this was going to happen. But my missions organization emailed me, and they said, hey, we're going to have a representative from our office be there. Are you going to be there? And I had to play it off and be like, oh, yeah, of course we're going to be there, you know. And if you want us there, we're going to be there. So we came, and we met the representative, and it just so happened, not only was the representative there, but then there were these two missionaries from Cambodia there that you see pictured there, John and Debbie Coates. You might actually recognize them because we support them. Their picture is out there on the map. Their prayer card is out there on that map. I knew John and Debbie Coates because they're under the same organization, Eastern Mennonite Missions, and I had met them in Southeast Asia. I didn't know them very well. They're the age of my parents. So I didn't really know what their ministry looked like until they presented that day. And they're presenting about sharing and living out in the jungles of Cambodia, which I knew that was rare. not very many missionaries. If you saw the map, Cambodia is that dark red. Almost all of it is dark red. And most missionaries, if they go, they concentrate in the cities, you know? And so very rarely do you get ones that go out in the countryside. Debbie was a nurse practitioner in America before she left, but she gave that all up 30 plus years ago to go on the mission field. And she does medical ministry in the jungle there. And John helps run a school program out there. And they share the gospel and good news with their village friends. And they're sharing this. And while they're sharing it, just like the humility that is coming out of what was being said, the heart for the people just came out, and it spoke to me, and I said, wow, those would be people that I would love to learn from. And my wife, who was sitting next to me, Jeanette, now she loves civilization. She likes, yes, the idea of going into the jungle or a small remote village that has no running water or, you know, no paved roads, like that sounds terrible to her. And, but funny enough, she leaned over and she goes, oh, we should go work with them. And I'll be honest, I've had the Lord speak through me and say things through me, and I've had, and when she said that, something in me said, oh, I think that's God actually talking, because it was so out of character for Jeanette to say something like that, you know? And so in my mind, I kind of put it back there that maybe we should go with these people, even though we had not given up on Indonesia. And John and Debbie Coates actually came to visit us because we were both excited to see each other. We had not seen each other since before COVID started. And so we got together. They came over and stayed the night at our house. And they asked us, oh, how's going back to Indonesia looking? Have you been praying about it? And we kind of explained the situation. And then I jokingly said to them, well, we're talking about coming to work with you. And I'll tell you, the standard missionary response is like, yes, Cambodia needs you, blah, blah, blah. Come on, we would love to have you. That wasn't what they said at all. They said, I think you need to pray about this because Cambodia is super hard and people don't last there. And I think you probably, if you came to Cambodia, you might want to go to find somewhere that's more developed and maybe has hospitals and things like that, because it's really hard where we are. And they were so negative that I was like, wow, I guess they don't want us to go and be work with them. And so I kind of just like, I guess maybe we are hearing wrong because they don't seem on board at all. And so that visit ended. They actually came back and visited us another time before we left. It did not come up at all, the idea of us going to Cambodia. They left and went to Cambodia, and then they sent us an email and said, hey, how's the discernment process going for Indonesia? Are things opening up? We hope that you're still considering Cambodia. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I didn't even believe the email. And they said this. I was like, what do they mean by that? That was not what they were communicating at all. And we still were hanging on to Indonesia. And this is our contract with EMM, our employment with EMM came to end in February of last year. But we still held on to our house. We were paying for the rent and everything out of pocket, and because we kept on hoping that the doors would open up. And then April rolls around, so we're still holding on to April, and the laws haven't changed. And so Jeanette and I are like, okay, maybe we need to look at, we can't hold on to this house forever. And we need to surrender and just accept that the Lord is saying, no, you're not going back to Indonesia. And so we started the process of closing up. We got rid of all our stuff by the end of April and got rid of our house, like ended the contract with our house. And then end of May, beginning of June, we get a call from John and Debbie, and they're like, hey, how are things going? Are you considering Cambodia? We went ahead and talked to our supervisors at Eastern Mennonite Missions about you coming to work with us at Cambodia, and they're not against the idea. And for me, I'm like, you wouldn't talk to our supervisors? Like, we didn't discuss this at all. Like, and then they go and... I was kind of caught off guard. I was like, oh, maybe they do want us to come. And they said, we don't know what kind of visa you would come under because we work for a Korean mission organization. They provide our visas, and they don't have any more available. And so I don't know if it's even possible for you to come work where we're working. But that would be something we'd have to work through. I'm going, John Coates there goes and says, we're going to a conference with this Korean organization, and at this conference, we're going to ask the president if he has any suggestions on how we can get you a visa. Well, that next week, they went to this conference. In the middle of that week, they said, John goes, hey, I want to talk to you right now. Can we meet? And so we have a meeting real quick, and John says, hey, I talked to the president. He says they just actually got approved by the Cambodian government to start a religious organization up with 25 new visas available, and they're willing to give them to you. So we were like, wow. We were a little bit worried at first because we were like, well, usually these organizations have a lot of strings attached to them, and we didn't want to get ourselves in a hole. So Jeanette wisely asked, you know, what would be the expectations of this organization? And he says, this organization actually, the only expectation is that you attend the conference that's once a year, and the other expectation is that you spread the good news. There's no other requirements for this visa. And you can live and work anywhere in the country. And I was like, that kind of blew me away because this is totally different than anything we had in Indonesia. And we took that as a green door, and John looked, and we were doing a video call, so John looks at me in the video call and says, he's like, so if you feel God is calling you to Cambodia, there's no need to wait any longer. And so I sent an email to EMM and said, hey, we feel the Lord directing us to Cambodia. We would like to meet with you. And that was mid-June. And 1 week later, Indonesia opens up everything. And I have to say, I was pretty upset. But in a sense, I took it somewhat as confirmation that we weren't meant to go back to Indonesia. It was too much of a coincidence. Because it wasn't like at the end of a month or start of a new month that they've dropped all the regulations. It was like the 14th or something like that. It was some weird middle of the month date that they decided to drop all government regulations and open things back up. And so I was like, well, it doesn't seem, even though my desire is to go back to Indonesia, it doesn't seem right for me to have stepped out in faith in this one direction and then just quickly, because it makes sense on paper, turn around and be like, you know what, I'm going to go this way. So that's how we got directed towards Cambodia, and that's where our heart is. Our heart is to be where the Lord desires us to be. And so we are going to surrender that to Him. And this is a map of Cambodia. Now you see Vietnam. You're probably familiar with Vietnam, maybe Thailand. And down there at the point is Malaysia at the very bottom of the map, that little point there. And then Indonesia's below that. And like I said, in the map that Pastor Dave showed, this is very, very red. And now you probably can't see this because I can hardly see it on the clear TV back there, but the big yellow line is the Buddhist population, and it isn't until you get 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth line down, 1.1% Christianity, right? So that means that if there's 100 people in the room, maybe one of them is a Christian. You know? 1,000 people, maybe 10 of them, you know? So very small population of Christians in that country, and that's why that country is so bright red. And probably the Christians live in one group, like all together, mostly. And so our desire is to go to and share the gospel and make disciples among the people who have not heard the good news. Our first destination of where we're headed is to language school. And this is the city of Battambang. And we're going to head there, actually, because there's a YWAM base that does a lot of trainings for Southeast Asian missionaries. And they do a language school out of there. Our connection with YWAM is actually through John and Debbie Coates. Their son who grew up there, like I said, they lived there 30 plus years. Their son who grew up in Cambodia, married a Cambodian, and now works full-time for YWAM at this base. And so they've given us, even though we're not going to go with YWAM, they've given us approval to go to the school there and do the language school there. So we're really excited about that. But that school starts in July, and that means that we have to be there no later than July if we're going to attend this year's school. Which is like a pretty much going to be a miracle that we get there. So we're just praying for that. Like I said, this is kind of getting into pictures. This is pictures from John and Debbie of the village where they're working. It's a very remote area. You see the houses in the back. They're up on stilts, and they're made mainly of bamboo. And John is the guy on the motorcycle in red in the far back there. And we really, really connected with their desire to go where the gospel is not present. This is a picture of just one of the country roads. You can see the cows there, and they're pretty emaciated. They're very, you can just see the bones on them. Not sure why that is. If it must be a bad diet, I'm guessing. This is inside one of the, I guess they did a gathering here. And you see how they're up in the air, off the ground on stilts, and that's the floor that they got. They got holes all through the floor because that's bamboo slats that they make the floor out of. And so our desire is to live as Cambodians live, to walk with them. The way you make disciples is to walk out life with them. If you think about how Jesus raised up his disciples. And this is actually how we should parent as well, is we need to first walk it out and have the disciples come alongside us and so that they can see it. Second is to challenge them to walk it out as well while you're walking with them. And the third is to hopefully that they will come to a maturity where they're able to raise up their disciples as well. And so that's our desire, where our heart is. I just included this because this is actually, I think, you'll notice that there's one little white boy in the back, and that is the John and Debbie Coates' boy, when this is an old photo of them playing in the mud during the rainy season, and it's just reminding me of my kids and how they connected with the Indonesians and played the games that they knew how to play and just lived life out with them. And so I really, my desire is to challenge you to ask the Lord where he wants you. Ask the Lord where can you walk with him. And do not ask the Lord where you want him to be. Do not tell God where you want him to be. Ask the Lord where he wants you to be. We all actually get our challenge to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the other scripture I put on here on my prayer card. Second scripture is, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And how can we actually say we love our neighbor if we're not telling them the good news of salvation? If we're just going to stand by and watch them and be like, well, I love them by not offending them or putting them, making them uncomfortable. If we have that attitude, we're pretty much watching them go to hell. They're pretty much choosing hell anyways, those sinners. You know, we got that self-righteous attitude. That's not going to fly. We need to actually love them in a way that actually maybe makes them uncomfortable, because we tell them, hey, you know what? You need Christ. You need his love. You need his salvation and his covering. There's nothing that you can do that will earn it. And so I just kind of want to leave you with that challenge, that we start looking outside of our plans, our desires, and our comfort zone, and love each other as God loves us. And so I want to thank you. I love this church. Another thing is it's hard for me to think about leaving this church. Going out to somewhere new, starting brand new, is hard for not only for me and Jeanette and I, but it's also hard for our kids, and it's intimidating. But I want to surrender that to the Lord, but I really do love you all. I want to visit with you and spend as much time as I can. If you do desire to hang out with me and get together, do not hesitate to tell me. I'll make it happen, you know, because I can't have enough friends, you know, and I want to know who you are. And if you do not know me, do not feel intimidated to come up and talk to me or introduce yourself to me, and we can hang out, and I would love to get to know who you are. God loves all of you. He wants to walk with you, and that's pretty awesome if you think about it. So God bless you all. Thank you.
All right, so I'm part of John's mission team, and we're sending them out. So before, I know we're running out of time here, but how can they call upon him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. So you guys have heard the mission. You've heard the passion. They are very excited to go. John and Jeanette are very excited to go. And we're excited to send them. So you've had all that now. What can you do as a congregation for them? I'm glad you asked. We want prayer. All right, first and foremost, we're sending them into the cultural stronghold of the devil, all right? There's, 86% Buddhist? If you do not believe there's demonic power behind those religions, you are sorely mistaken, and we are sending John Jeanette and his whole family over there. So first off, prayer. Prayer for protection, and prayer for the unknown, all right? They're going over new culture, new language, all that stuff. Do not envy them that. Second off, we need your money, all right? EMM needs 100% support to send them, all right? So we're at 30.5%, and we need to send them by July. 7 years ago, they said we couldn't do it, and we did, and 7 years later, we'll do it again, all right? So we made it real easy for you. I know this probably looks like a blank sheet of paper, but out front, there are partnering with EMM in Cambodia. You can fill out one of these papers to support them. And there's also this awesome QR code right there. Take out your smartphone, take a picture of it. It sends you to the link to support the Puckets. What we're looking for is the month-to-month support, all right? That helps build the budget up. Also, it helps remind you to pray for the Puckets as your money gets sent to them, all right? So month-to-month support is what we're really looking for. Of course, any offering is very much appreciated. But you can do that. You can use a QR code on that, sign up for their newsletter, and you can also give through the Mercersburg website. There's a link for that. And you can also give through the EMM website. So there's really no excuse. So we appreciate you looking into that. QR code, newsletter. Their budget covers sending 7 people to another country. So everybody's like, oh, it should only cost like $20,000 to send them, right? You're covering insurance. You're covering housing. You're covering the language school, which is not free. And you're also covering an escape plan to get out as well. I mean, a lot of people don't think about that, but EMM is got that all figured out, and we are helping to support that. Did I miss anything else, John? Sign up for the newsletter. We can talk to Danae Olmsted or I about that as well. So I think that's all I have to say.
All right. Let's stand as we close in prayer here. I just want to thank you guys. Also, a reminder of the Spring Missionary Conference tonight at Marion, starting at 4 o'clock with the meal, as Ben reminded us, in between. So if that's your tipping point, loved it, Ben. That's the tipping point, meal. So, hon, I'm taking you out to eat tonight. As we close, though, I said it this way in first service, so I won't phrase it quite like, say, before I retire, because then somebody said, well, are you retiring? So in the next 5 years, I'm not retiring, but I would love for us to not only as we keep growing here and sharing the message here and as we send John and Jeanette, but I would love for us to start praying and looking at who's the next family, next couple, next person that we send out into that red, and lift them up in prayer, and let's start praying about it. Let's be serious about not only ministering to our community, but also ministering internationally. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you again. We thank you for the time we have together, but most of all, we thank you for your love that you displayed through your son, Jesus, through the blood on the cross and the empty tomb. And Lord, I just want to pray for John and Jeanette and their family right now as we are moving forward to commissioning and sending them into the mission field. Lord, and I just pray for them right now. I pray for them to continually sense your presence. Lord, as you have led them this far, Lord, may they continue to have a peace, knowing that they are in the center of your will. And Lord, while there are times that will be uncomfortable, I pray that we all can start finding ourselves being comfortable with being uncomfortable as we go forth sharing this truth of your love to the world. And so, Lord, I just thank you for each one that is here. And Lord, I just now pray a blessing upon them. And Lord, we thank you for everything, for your salvation through your son, Jesus. May it be that when we leave here, not only we say it was good to be in the house of God, but that we are excited about the truth and that we would share and not only just speak the words, but that they would see the reflection of your son in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time and attention. Go and love, peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.